Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, October 25th. I'm Abby Larico. It's less than 2 weeks until Election Day, when Missourians will vote for both the president and a U.S. senator. They will also choose the next governor of the state. Beyond the candidates themselves, down-ballot issues, including overturning Missouri's abortion ban, could be factors in determining the winner.
I think that Amendment 3 really will have the most influence.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg breaks down the Missouri governor's race, now in its final days, after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis public safety officials broke ground Thursday on a new building that will house all the city's 911 dispatchers. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports.
The new facility will be built on city-owned land in the Jeff Vanderloo neighborhood. It will allow St. Louis to centralize its 911 dispatch for police, fire, and EMS. The City Emergency Management Agency will also be based there. Public Safety Director Charles Coyle says the building can hold more dispatchers, which will help bring down wait times for 911.
And with our cross-training, we'll be able to have people in positions that they normally would not have been in to make sure that we're there when the citizens call for any type of emergency.
Funding for the $45 million project comes from a combination of federal, state, and local resources. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County is looking for ways to mitigate and prepare for extreme weather events caused by climate change. A $765,000 climate action plan approved by the county council will be funded by NFL settlement money. At a bill signing ceremony Thursday, County Executive Sam Page said it's important to make this investment for future generations.
How goes St. Louis County goes the state. So we need to be in front of this. We need to be thinking about development and protecting us from the hazards of climate change.
A consulting firm will create the science-based plan with input from residents and local officials. When it's published in about 2 years, the county council will consider how to implement the recommendations. Officials from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say there's no evidence that human-to-human transmission of bird flu occurred among Missourians earlier this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports the agency had tested blood from health workers who had been exposed to a person with the virus.
Federal health officials began investigating a case of bird flu in a Missourian who had no recorded contact with animals. Other cases of the H5N1 virus had been in people who caught it from cows and poultry. The agency tested the blood of health workers and one family member who were in contact with that case to see if they also tested positive for the virus. A positive test could indicate H5N1 could spread among humans. The agency this week found the health workers were all bird flu negative. Additionally, the scientists found blood from the initial patient and their family member shows they may have been exposed to or previously infected with the bird flu. CDC officials say the results indicate the risk of humans contracting bird flu remains low. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Some farmers selected for a federal grant program are without their funding for now. That's because Missouri lawmakers included only about $2 million of the $7 million federal dollars received for the grants in their state budget. The Resilient Food Systems Infrastructure Grant Program aims to help small producers get their products to more customers. Missouri Representative Greg Sharp says lawmakers weren't trying to cut the funding so much as rushing to get the budget done.
At the budget process there at the end of the session and between the House and the Senate, we have a tendency to jam everything through at the last. And I think there's some language that wasn't in there to spend the money.
Sharp, a Republican, expects the remaining dollars to be allocated as part of the supplemental budget early next year. An East St. Louis nonprofit received a nearly $450,000 Illinois state grant to help bring safe and enriching after-school programming to the Metro East. Eastside Aligned plans to open on-site mental health services and expand its science, technology, engineering, art, and math programs to area youth. The state grant is funded through its Restore, Reinvest, Renew program, which uses revenue from adult recreational cannabis sales. Evan Krause is the group's executive director. He says every child should have access to supportive and productive after-school programs.
It opens up new worlds, opens up new possibilities, and they really relish when they get to do that.
Eastside Align serves about 1,000 children and provides support to 10 after-school programs a year. A St. Louis Development Corporation opened a retail small business incubator last week in the Grove neighborhood. Every 14 months, the Eric Outlaw Business Center will give three minority female entrepreneurs a space to sell products and the knowledge to run a successful retail store. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports on one of its first featured businesswomen.
For years, Joy Riley burned soy wax candles throughout her home. She later realized that some chemicals in the candles were causing her asthmatic children's breathing issues. In 2019, she started JR Candle Company. The candles are filled with coconut apricot wax and free of many toxins. She's had her ups and downs as a Black entrepreneur. One challenge is getting her business funded outside of banks, since her husband had prior issues securing loans for his business.
Banks say, oh, well, you need to be making $200,000 and you need this credit score, and you meet all of those things and you go in for the meeting and they still tell you no.
Through the program, Riley plans to build out her marketing campaign and learn how to run a successful brick and mortar. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
There are 11 days until the November 5th election. Missourians will choose 5 statewide positions, including the governor. Several ballot initiatives, including a question on overturning Missouri's abortion ban, could be an influence on who wins the governor's race. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on the contest.
It's evening at Villa Antonio Winery in Hillsboro, and Jefferson County Democrats have gathered to hear from not only their local candidates, but also gubernatorial candidate State Representative Crystal Quaid. Jewel Kelly, who ran for U.S. Senate in 2022, says Democrats couldn't have picked a better candidate to run for governor.
I feel that she's very compassionate, very approachable. She knows her stuff. She's been, the floor leader for 6 years. And, she leads by example.
2 days later in St. Clair, people are gathered at Blondie's Breezeway to meet Republican candidate, Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. Washington resident Diane Jones plans to vote for Kehoe.
I think he's got good conservative principles without being over the top with it. So I supported him in a primary as well, and I think that he's the right guy to lead it in the right direction.
Missouri has not elected a Democrat to a statewide position since 2018, and a SLU YouGov poll published in August has Kehoe ahead of Quaid by 10%. Quaid says she knows that it's an uphill battle right now for a Democrat to win a statewide race, but she also says she has a history with connecting with voters on issues they care about.
I proudly say I had my yard signs right next to Donald Trump yard signs when I first ran in 2016, not because I obviously agree with the former president on all of these issues, but there are places where we can agree with each other.
For Quaid, some of those issues include access to childcare and quality of education in Missouri. Meanwhile, Kehoe says his number one issue, if elected, would be addressing crime in Missouri, followed by the economy. Even though Kehoe is more likely to win, he says he's not taking anything for granted leading up to Election Day.
Hard work's all I know. I'm going to continue to work hard. And Missourians will decide on November 5th. We think our message resonates with them, and we're hopeful that they choose us on November 5th.
There are elements this year beyond the candidates themselves that could influence voters or even bring in new ones. For Missourians, that includes whether the state should overturn its abortion ban. Amendment 3, if passed, would put the right to have an abortion in the Missouri Constitution. Anita Mannion, an assistant professor of political science at the University of Missouri-St. Louis, says Democrats, including Quaid's campaign, are hoping to benefit from Amendment 3 being on the ballot.
Saying in her perspective that, you know, Democrats, we're the party of reasonable regulation, that Republicans are extremists, and the trigger ban on abortion is one example of that, and trying to get some people to cross the aisle.
Kelly says with the overturning of Roe versus Wade back in 2022, he believes momentum is on Democrats' side this election.
Getting the abortion amendment 3 on the ballot is a game changer. It's something that we haven't had in previous election cycles.
However, a yes vote on 3 doesn't necessarily translate to a vote for Quaid or other Democrats. Stephen Rogers, director of the SLU YouGov poll, says they found a fair number of Amendment 3 supporters who are also voting Republican. Jones believes there are going to be Missourians this election who split their ballot when it comes to Amendment 3 and who they want their governor to be.
Just because someone is voting Republican doesn't mean they're automatically going to vote no on three and vice versa.
Other issues on the Missouri ballot that could influence the governor's race include a minimum wage increase and legalizing sports betting. I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can read all of our coverage of the 2024 election by going to stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a great weekend.